Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. For our next segment, we have an exploration of one of the more challenging subjects of reality, non-reality, or death itself. And what really is that all about? Is it really a boundary, or is it an illusion of some sort?
Yes, we were just exploring where thoughts go, and now we're going to get to explore where people go, where personalities go.
Yeah. So we're bringing on to the show Karen Noe, who is a very well-known New Jersey-based psychic medium, spiritual counselor, healer, who has been in touch with loved ones on the other side for a very long time now. It's probably second nature to her at this point. And she's particularly well-known for bringing through Dr. Wayne Dyer and his connection with his understanding of spirituality, coming not just from the wisdom on this side, but from the other side as well.
And so, she's written a very beautiful book that we've very much enjoyed looking through and reading, called We Consciousness, about her gifts of seeing and her ability to connect with Dr. Dyer, and 33 ideas that can help create peace.
Welcome to the show, Karen.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. Yeah, so can you tell our audience a little bit about what you mean by we consciousness?
The we consciousness. Okay, the we consciousness is an awareness of the unity of everyone and everything, and that includes animals and nature. It includes our divinity, compassion for all of life. Hope you're following.
Well, what comes to mind is some kind of cosmic Google.
Yeah. Well, and what a person does to oneself or another, how it affects the whole. So if you do something to yourself, it really affects everyone else, and vice versa.
Okay, so it's very interactive.
Yes, correct. But we don't know. When we're in a physical body, we cannot feel the interconnectivity of everyone and everything, because it seems like you're over there, I'm over here. Our bodies separate us. But after we leave the physical plane, we could feel that connectivity immediately.
Yeah, I think it's collections of people or energies, living energies, that are organizing on a higher level of some sort?
Well, the energy doesn't begin and doesn't end. Our energy, I don't think or believe this. I know this without a doubt with all the years of doing readings and connecting with loved ones who've passed. Yeah. So they connect, they retain their same personality, but they are also connected to everyone and everything, and they feel and they could see through the eyes of all other people.
So they're like cosmic versions of themselves in
correct.
The physical.
That's right.
Enlightened versions of who they were.
Exactly.
Interesting. So you see, you talk to all these enlightened relatives of people from around the world to bring the wisdom of that family into the living family here.
Correct.
So you're sort of a conduit for that knowledge. Huh.
The point is, the loved ones who have passed, they truly are okay and are totally at peace. The ones who are here are not so much so.
So this is the hell world here, then. I see.
Right, right.
Okay, so if this is a hell world, then this is as worse as it gets as we're having on this world now?
Yeah, it depends on what we make of it. If we plug into the positive energy, then we could have a wonderful, positive, loving life.
Here, too. So you can have it on Earth here, too.
Absolutely. We have to plug into what we want, not what we don't want. If that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's a question of expunging what you don't want from your narrative.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, so you're not reinforcing negative beliefs that hold yourself in a more limited perspective than who you really are.
So I'm a little curious about your journey, Karen, and I've always been very interested in humans' ability to have psychic awareness. And I'm just curious, how did you cultivate and discover yours before writing this book?
Okay, well, I've always been psychic, but I have not always been a psychic medium. There's a difference. Being psychic knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You have these feelings, intuition. And we all have these abilities, by the way. It's not just Karen Noe who could do it. I just tapped into this knowledge.
Yeah.
However, about 20 years ago, I was going through a very difficult time in my life. And I remember I just sat at the edge of my bed and I just yelled at God. And I said, am I going to be okay? Hmm. And with that, I saw a light that came towards me from the other side of the room. And my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said that, the more it continued to come towards me and eventually enveloped me. And I felt an incredible peace that I never felt before. And at that time, I heard an audible voice that said, Lucha Lucina, Bella Lucha Lucina. And for the Italian listeners, they would know what that means. That means light, little light, beautiful little light. And I have since learned that was St. Francis of Assisi. And for those who've read my books or follow me on Facebook, you could see my St. Francis connection with all the animals that I post, the cute animal videos or the peace videos and all of that.
Yes.
But right after that happened, I started feeling people who've passed as well as the angels. And I was very reluctant. I didn't want to share this with other people. I didn't want them to think I was not in my right mind. I was very shy. But the more I gave into this, the more I gave the readings, the more people knew without a doubt it was their loved ones. It was crazy things that would come through. For example, one of my earliest messages was someone was coming through and he showed me a kangaroo with boxing gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in the United States. That would not be in my frame of reference. But I said that, and her loved ones boxed kangaroos in Australia. You know, silly things like that that I would never know.
Yeah.
And so did you have to clear away any cobwebs, or was this a sense that you always had that at a certain point you were just ready to deal with? Or
I think I was ready to deal with it. At that point, I have crazy stories, but when I was younger, my father used to take me to the racetrack, and I picked the winning numbers for him. And now I'm an animal activist. I wouldn't go to the racetrack. But the horse race, yeah. No, but I was ready for this, and I knew how to receive messages. And this is something I would love our listeners to know.
Mm-hmm.
As I said before, we can all do this. It's not just about what I can do. This is the key I think most people do not realize. They expect to hear a voice. They expect to see an apparition of their loved one, but their loved one does not have a physical body. Okay, so they speak to us telepathically as thoughts that just pop in your head for no reason, with names. And I know it sounds crazy, but this is the way they come to you.
It's like she's in a cloud. They come in a cloud of some sort.
They do come. Yeah. They come and they, you know.
Maybe our technology is just a reflection of what's actually happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the key is you have to differentiate your thoughts from theirs.
Yeah. How do you do that? How do you know it's who? I guess you, in an expanded state, you is different than it would be from a normal state.
Right. Now, the key is, I didn't realize how loved ones would, because when I give a message to someone, it's something that I didn't know that person before. They just came in my office and, you know, I'll get the boxing kangaroo, the Aunt Jemima, all these things that I would never know.
Yeah.
But when my own mother passed a few years ago, and she was trying to contact me, I said, oh my gosh, this is what people go through, because I think of my mother anyway. So how do I differentiate my thoughts from hers? And here's how. You have to see if your thought had an originating thought. Like, in other words, if you see a picture of your mother that triggered a thought, that's you. But if a thought just pops in your head for no reason, such as when I say here, it would just pop in my head, hi, sweetheart. Mm. I don't say that to myself.
Yeah.
My mother called me sweetheart, and I said, oh, okay, this is what people go through. It's so subtle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So it's like part of our consciousness or our brain is some interdimensional transceiver of some sort, like
exactly
pulling in these other domains, and some of us are more sensitive to it than others. Very interesting.
Right.
Could you hold on a sec? We're just going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back with Karen Noe. Welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show. We're talking to psychic Karen Noe in New Jersey, and at least in the physical domain. Karen, we do have some requests to tell a little bit more about your story with Dr. Wayne Dyer and St. Francis Assisi.
Yeah. Wayne Dyer. Yeah.
And maybe there's a connection between those two and
your journey? There is a big connection, yes. It is a long story, so I'll make it as brief as possible.
Because we got a caller already.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay. Wayne Dyer loved St. Francis of Assisi, and as I just discussed, St. Francis is one of my guides. And through synchronistic events, I went to speak at an event for my publisher in Orlando, Florida, right after Wayne Dyer passed. Mm-hmm. And they were holding a tribute for him about a month after he passed, and I just connected with his daughter, Serena, because she had been on my radio show, etc., and I sent her a copy of my book, Your Life After Their Death, and I never met her before, but I was sitting on the author bus that was going to go to the conference center, and as I'm sitting on the bus, there's one seat available, which happens to be next to mine, and in walks Serena Dyer and sits next to me.
Wow, so synchronistic.
Yes, yeah. And then eventually her family, two of her sisters, and herself and her mom came to see me in New Jersey. They flew in from Florida, and one of the daughters is in Manhattan. And he came through with messages that only they would know, nothing, you know, that was public or anything like that. For one example, I don't share everything because they're very personal, but when I can, because Serena, his daughter, shared this one, he said to Serena that she was pregnant and she had a flat belly. There's no way I would have known that. And she just had her other daughter. And she said, no, I'm not pregnant. And I said, okay, but your dad's saying 4th of July. I don't know what that means. It ends up she went home, took a pregnancy test, and she was pregnant, and the baby was due the 4th of July. So there was a lot of things like that they knew without a doubt it was their dad. And he spoke to them very forcefully. I'm shy, but when he spoke, I'm different. I just, come out like that.
It seems like understanding space and time is different on the other side.
We're past, present,
and okay, so past, present, and future are an illusion. What's your working understanding of time then?
Yeah, it's very difficult to explain in human terms, but you have to say, what he showed me, it's like a ruler. If you look at a ruler, you see the inches, 1, 2, 3, and if you're in the middle, you're still on the same ruler, but you could look up or down, and it's all at the same time. It's very hard for me to grasp.
It up and down in all directions at the same time?
Yeah, you could see it all at once if you stand above the ruler. You can see it all.
There goes my brain.
It's hard. I mean, we're in a physical body. We cannot grasp that.
But infinity. It's like grasping infinity.
Exactly.
Well, I guess on some level we must, because infinity, if you want to grasp divine consciousness, what's that? Would you say for your experience that's connection with everything?
Absolutely. Now, we have the divine within us. Most people look above in the sky and thinking that source, God, is outside of ourselves. But in reality, we all have source within us. And when we acknowledge that, that's part of the we consciousness, that we could create miracles in our lives.
And that's when you connect with each other.
Exactly. The only difference between someone who can create miracles and one who cannot is that the one who can create miracles realizes the power within them. That's the only difference. The other person doesn't realize it. They don't, they're not accepting that.
Yeah. And I guess that's when you find other people having that experience, and that expands the whole the kind of games you play in life, or the kinds of worlds you create with your time.
Now, I'm very curious what you're experiencing as you wrote this book. Obviously, you had a bit of an urgency and some purpose, and you've really got a lot of beautiful sentiments you've expressed here. So take us there.
Yes. I didn't get to the part before. I forgot to mention that the book was not all about Wayne Dyer. I mean, I have a chapter in the back with channeled messages from him. I said, you have to give me that, Wayne. Because what happened was, it was New Year's Eve, the first year after he began communicating to his family. And by the way, he has 8 children and a wife. I was on the phone with them at least 3 times a week with one of them. I know them now so well.
And that's, you mentioned that. We just watched the shift in preparation for talking to you today.
Okay. He was loud in life, and he's even louder now that he made the transition.
What was his belief in the afterlife when he was alive?
He believed in the... he said he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to... Not that he wanted to die, but he said he was... When he heard people who had passed, he said he was jealous. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He was so excited to talk about the afterlife after he passed.
Yeah.
And so excited to talk about the we consciousness. What happened was that first New Year's Eve, I wanted to stay up at 12 midnight after that first year after I connected with him. But I couldn't stay awake. It was 8 o'clock. I decided to take a nap. And then he came through to me specifically. Usually he comes for his family, but he came and he said, Karen, now's the time to do what you came on earth to do. And I immediately knew what that was, and that's to talk about peace on earth, because it's so much needed at this particular time. And he said he was going to join forces with a group of other beings, which included St. Francis of Assisi, angels and ascended masters, and they would combine they were going to be called my we guides. It would be hard to differentiate him from all the others. It's like a group consciousness.
Yeah.
We're all connected, right?
Kind of like the Avengers in a good way.
Yes, exactly. So, well, you know, most of the book is with that. And it felt, as you asked before, oh, it's just amazing. And it just felt, you can't put it into words, just total love.
No, I'd imagine. I imagine you, yeah, with your book, you'll be collecting a lot of people who are having similar experiences. And
yes,
off we go to a new way of understanding what reality is.
Right.
So he, when you first connected with him around the idea of writing the book, he wasn't telling you anything you didn't already know in terms
Correct.
Of his purpose.
See, this is the wonderful part. He said, I knew everything that I was going to be writing about. Mm. And that's maybe why I was on the same vibrational level as this, the We Guides. And he said that they were talking to me my whole life, but I didn't realize it. And I think, I know, I was going to say we think, but we all, I know we all have guides that are guiding us and protecting us as to what we could do and our grand, the passions that we have, you know, what we, our purpose on life. But in any case, yes, I had all of this information before.
So let me ask you this. How does this change your understanding of privacy and secrets?
Hmm. You mean if we're all connected and what about privacy and secrets?
Yeah, I mean, what's the
Well, you wouldn't pick up, no, you wouldn't pick up on someone else's information if that person didn't want you to pick up on that information. So it's all about boundaries, what you wish to share. Even though we are connected, we all have our individual life.
So there's ultimately an individual life as well as
like,
the we.
Yeah, like five fingers on a hand as different fingers connected to the hand. And
yeah, right. Every atom is connected to a cloud, but it's still, it's got itself, it's got its atom.
Right.
Actually, the way that I think about it, you know, you practice certain things to test out ideas like telepathy, like someone pops into your head and then you guess that maybe that's them on the phone in the next minute. And one of the questions that I wonder about is, when is something that I'm picking up, and this is your question too, when is it coming from me and when is it coming from someone else and when is it somewhere in the middle, just kind of a vibration that I'm tuning into?
It's all of the above. So you're all on the same vibration, so you're picking up on each other, you're picking up on someone else, they're picking up on you, and you're just very open to it.
Uh-huh. So everybody is really bringing their own energy, and the thing that makes it a connection is the fact that it's in resonance. So for instance...
That's exactly right. Yes, perfectly
resonance.
Said. I know what you said. I know what you said.
Well,
yes, absolutely.
I know in your book you stress that people need to choose to cultivate the positive thoughts and they need to learn how to separate themselves from the negative thoughts. And,
yes,
you know, there's
absolutely
tools for doing that.
Because we are vibrational beings and what our thoughts actually create our reality, our feelings within ourselves. We think just because we cannot see our thoughts or our feelings that they don't do anything. But in reality, we're vibrational beings that attract like unto itself. So I don't know about you, but I'd rather attract more positive and loving things around me than negativity. Mm. If that's all said and done, it's important to watch your thoughts. Not every single thought in your head, it's impossible to do. But the bottom line is to focus on what you're feeling at any particular moment. And if you're feeling good, chances are you're thinking good, positive thoughts. If you're feeling badly, chances are you're focusing on what's wrong. So you want to focus on what you want instead of what is, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure.
Right.
So we do have a caller who I'm sure would love to ask you something.
Yeah, I do have a text coming in asking if you've heard of the non-duality groups.
No, I have not.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right.
Basically,
it's getting to the consciousness where, you know, we're the ones that are creating the positive and the negatives. You know, they all come from a unified source, and that consciousness is where it all connects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my understanding of the non-dual. It's a state of consciousness where everything's created from. I guess it's what we might call playing the game in God mode, if
right.
I were a gamer.
Okay.
So it begs the question of the difference between mortal and immortal and whether or not we made that up and who created the boundaries. And all. It's a deep topic. But we do have questions from our audience. If you could hold on for another segment, Karen, we'd love to.
Sure.
Great. Okay, great. And I want to just say hi to Carolyn, who is on the phone. And Carolyn, could you hold on during the break? We're just going to
touch tentacles and then we'll continue after the break.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay, we'll be right back with Karen Noe.
Oh, forget the tentacles. Later.
On the Dr. Future Show.
Telepathy only at this moment.
Time to fly.
Abraham Hicks, Seth, the Education of Oversoul 7. My goodness, a lot of questions coming in here. So we're talking to Karen Noe, a psychic on the east of our coast in New Jersey. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions for Karen, now is the time.
And in that vein, let's say hello to Carolyn from Ben Lomond.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Karen. I have not known of you, but I was certainly a follower of Wayne Dyer. Mm-hmm. And I have had only one prophetic dream, which was walking out of St. Francis of Assisi and down the road. So that was very exciting. And
oh,
I'm wondering if you have anyone who might want to come through to connect with me.
Oh, I don't do readings on the air because I have to meditate beforehand. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But St. Francis is one of, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. There's two types of dreams from our loved ones and the ascended masters. One is a true visitation. It sounds like that was a true visitation from him.
Right.
And sometimes people have dreams from their deceased loved ones or the angels that are negative, such as they are dreaming of their loved one in a casket or something like that. That's not them. They wouldn't be coming through that way. They would be coming through happy. They usually come through younger than what they are, you know, healthy and all of that. That's your subconscious, if it's a negative dream, trying to work out something that you're going through in life. So it's important.
Yeah, definitely it was not negative.
Beautiful, beautiful, yes. I had a wonderful St. Francis, he likes to be called Francesco now. It's a long story, but I went to Assisi a few weeks ago and profound, something happened to me, incredible, but long story. Maybe if you connect with me on my website, I could email that to you.
Well, what was incredible? What really happened? We want to know about what really took you to new places and understanding and bringing you to the likes of us.
Okay, so I went to St. Francis. Long story short, I really have to make it quick.
Yes.
We went to the church. There's a church on the top of the hill, and there's a church on the bottom of the hill.
Okay.
I've never been to Assisi, and I decided everybody goes to the one on the top. I went to the one below. And I felt amazing, amazing energy there. I couldn't understand. I mean, it was just beyond. It felt like when I received that message with the light that came towards me. And when I went in, I could keep going on and on. There's like five or six or seven things that happened. But I went to their statue of the manger, and I just sat there. And as I was standing there, mm-hmm. I just started crying. I didn't know. This incredible piece that you can't even put into words. Mm. I couldn't stop. And there were a lot of people there. I wanted to throw myself on the ground.
Yeah.
But, of course, I didn't, because my human side said, no, that would look kind of bad. So I just couldn't move.
Yeah.
So through a set of synchronistic events, things happened. Mm-hmm. Then I went to the church on the hill, went out to dinner, and then all of a sudden I started out of my left eye. It blocked my vision. It was a crown of thorns in front of my eye.
Like a vision?
I couldn't see from my left eye. It was scary. And I said, what is this? I thought this was going to be a wonderful time for me,
right.
And I don't understand.
Crucifixion
and I know
thing or what?
Yeah, but, you know, it's not a religious thing. It's different. But yes, I mean, yes, crucifixion, thorns. So I know Francis said that he liked the suffering. He wanted the suffering. He wanted the bleeding, you know, and all of that. But
yeah, it's part of the life process.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
I did not want that. But in any case, I said, I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. I need to know. And long story short, as soon as I left, I had that. It blocked my vision. Eventually, I couldn't see out of my left eye. It was just totally blocked.
Well.
And I went to Venice, and I was on the bus from there to Venice. And as soon as I stepped off the bus to Venice, I opened my eyes, and I saw again. So I couldn't understand what it meant. I eventually went home, was relaying everything that happened to my son about I went to Venice, I went to Rome, and finally I told him about Assisi and about the crown of thorns, and his mouth was open. He's like, Mom.
He had a synchronicity?
Yes. I was just reading The Course in Miracles, and he had no idea this happened to me. I put a post-it under this quote. I didn't know why, but it felt like it was very important, and you should read it. So I opened the book, and I have it right in front of me, and this is what it said. You still look with the body's eyes, and they could see but thorns. You have asked for and received another sight. Those who accept the Holy Spirit's purpose as their own share his vision, and what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar now is yours as well as his. He sees no strangers, only dearly loved and loving friends. He sees no thorns, but only lilies gleaming in the gentle glow of peace that shines on everything.
Nice.
And then, one more thing. I mean, and there were more than this. I said, I still don't understand. I'm seeing with thorns. I don't know what that means. I still don't understand. Tell me. Because that was not funny. I was scared, you know. So yeah. I happened to be speaking at an event with Sage Dyer, Wayne's daughter. That morning, I was going over what I would be speaking about, and all of a sudden, the information was just downloaded, how I was seeing things wrong and differently with thorns. It was not seeing other people with thorns, because I'm so good about seeing other people, seeing through their eyes, loving them, all of it. It was seeing myself. I always put myself last, and as a matter of fact, in my speech with Sage, a lot of it was when I first started hearing from Wayne, I said, I'm so insignificant. I'm so insignificant. And he said to me, get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. So I have to start seeing myself through loving eyes as well. And I think a lot of our viewers, our listeners, feel the same way, right?
Yeah.
We have to love ourselves as much as everybody else.
Very important. Core, actually, right?
Yeah, right. One of the big insights, I think, for our next stage in moral evolution is getting beyond the idea that sacrifice is more important than self-esteem. You know?
And just what were those thorns, and how did I make them go away?
How did it go away? I don't even know why. It just disappeared when I left Assisi. It was
really
bizarre. Huh. And I couldn't understand. I said, surely, I said to whoever did this to me, I said, Francis, Francesco, because by the way, when I went into the other church, there was another event that they had his remains there. And I was kneeling next to the remains, and he said, why are you here? That's not me. That's just my shell. I'm with you and everyone else. You don't have to be here. So it was very profound. And he didn't want to be called St. Francis because we call him that. He's Francesco or Francis. But the thorns, I guess that was a symbol of the Christianity. You know, he was Christian, and I was looking at the manger when this whole thing happened. The crown of thorns. They don't want us to focus on the thorns. They want us to focus on the love and the miracles.
Yeah, okay, maybe control and power. The crown is actually ultimately the thorns into your evolution, perhaps. It's actually
going
to, by craving those things, is actually a more painful path.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Well, I just want to say thank you for all of that, because that means a lot in my life right now.
Does it? So, see, then that's why we connected. Again, no coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carolyn. And, thank you so much.
Yes, and I would love to be on your mailing list.
Oh, sure. Can you go to my website and just sign up? My website's KarenNoe.com, KarenNoe.com, and you could sign up there.
Okay, great. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carolyn. And we have another caller. You ready?
You ready for another person?
Everybody? I am.
Okay. All right.
Let's say hello to KSEO's very own Humble Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Funny, I called for a different purpose, but it's very interesting that I heard this part of the conversation. The thorns are of the mind. It's like when Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, and if you open it, I'll come in. Well, where's the door? That sounds good. How do you? The mind, the grudges, the guilt, the fear, all that stuff is the door that separates us from the divine, the truth. If we remove that stuff by stilling the mind, then it already is. It's not something we make or attain or climb. It already is. It's like on an overcast day, on an overcast day, the sun's not out on an overcast day. But if you move the clouds and the pollution away, the sun is out. The same as always. So it's the same thing. The truth we're looking for is already is. And when the one who's searching is found, then we have it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's the phase.
Thanks, brother. For a different purpose, if you don't mind, I'll be real quick.
Yeah,
all you people who are thinking maybe you won't vote because it's hopeless, get out and vote. I feel like we can take back California.
Yeah, it is voting day in this nation today.
Yeah. That's
true.
Get out there.
Good job. Thank you, Brian.
I agree. Go out and vote and make your voice known.
Hey, beautiful show. Thank you. I'm going to go now.
All right,
sweetie. Awesome. Thanks for calling in. There we go. That's, he usually does the Sunday morning show.
Yeah. Oh, does he? Okay.
Yes, he's kind of one of the preachers on Sunday morning.
That's right. He's evangelist for taking things where we need to go and stepping into our power and making our vote count, making our lives make a difference. That's his realm.
So I'm thinking also that we're here at the pulse of Silicon Valley, but in Santa Cruz. We're on the vacation side of the mountains at Monterey Bay. And we're thinking that how does the high tech connect in with the high touch, the high consciousness awareness of all this? We've been exploring that a little bit on the air because we cover a lot of the new inventions and stuff that are happening in the world. One of them was called electronic voice phenomenon, or being able to communicate with the other side via our technology. Have you ever have you ever experienced that?
No, I have not.
Okay. All right. So that's
very interesting.
It's a new area we're exploring. So if you hear anything along those lines, please let us know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We're also looking at how to contact the cetaceans as well. We have a lot of whales here in Monterey Bay. It's one of the most protected places. And they come here for vacation and they like to hang out with our species. So we're looking at creating shows where we actually bring people who love the whales and dolphins.
Oh, that's beautiful. And remember, we're all one, and that includes the whales. They're a part of who we are.
So I'm thinking, interspecies hangout zones where we can commune with them a little bit. So we have another caller, Mrs. Future?
We do, and we also have to go to a break. So can everybody stay for another couple minutes here after the break?
Sure.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. And Betty in Santa Cruz. Betty, we're just going to go for a quick break, and then you're on with our guest, Karen Noe. Okay?
Thank you.
Hang on, everybody. And we'll be back with the Dr. Future Show right after this.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show. We're talking to Karen Noe. And we have a question, Karen. Are celebrities still celebrities on the other side?
No, we're all of the equal value. That's a great question, though. You made me laugh. No, we're... Do you know, that's one of the concepts of the we consciousness. No one is more important than another. We're all equal.
Okay, so it's a little more egalitarian.
Right.
Excellent. Okay, now we have a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. Hi, Betty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm going to try to be succinct because it's lengthy if I were to tell you every detail.
Okay,
this happened, let's see, 1978. I got a job near where my dad was buried. I think it was PG&E, And I had been thumbing through this book called Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain.
Oh, yeah, a classic.
Yeah, and so it said to think a thought or a word over and over again in your head, that kind of thing. Well, before I tell you the main thing, it happened three times in a short period of time, say a month and a half. But the biggest one, the most important one, is what I want to tell you about, is that my dad was buried at Oak Hill Cemetery, which is near where I was working. And on my lunch hour, I went over there, and I can't tell you everything or take too long, but I said, if there's anything to this life after death business, give me a sign. I don't remember where you're buried. I can't find you, right? Okay, so I said, all the stuff I said, I can't give it all the details, but I let him know everything. I said, this is the date, this is the time. You've been in the ground for 5 years now. Every detail I could think of and everything, be as honest and sincere as possible. And I said, I'm not feeling very spiritual today. And you know me and my theatrics, but I'm going to exaggerate my sadness, not because I'm a phony, but I'm trying to create a frequency between you and me and everything else go, you know, out. Just focus. And so I said it over and over again, exaggerating my sadness and exaggerating my sadness. And I do have had thyroid show, and I was kind of weaving around. I hadn't eaten lunch, and there was the moon during the day. You could see the pale moon. And I went back to my desk, and I was the first one back at work, and there's this unabridged dictionary, right? Big, thick dictionary. And I was weaving around, and I wanted to go back to college, and I love words, and I love learning new words. In fact, I published a few things locally here in 2012. So anyway, I opened up the dictionary, and I wasn't looking at it, and I put my finger on a word. Okay, it has several definitions. But my finger ended up on the word, it was lugubrious, a word I'd never known before, and it said exaggerated sadness.
Right. Yes. The synchronicity.
This is what is called a without a doubt sign from your loved one. And we all can ask our loved ones to give us, I call them without a doubt. You know, without a doubt, you know, yeah, it's a synchronicity, but it's more than that. Our loved ones hear us. They can. We can't hear them. Most people cannot. So you say to them, give me a without a doubt sign, and then be patient and wait, and the sign will come when you least expect it. You receive that message. There are other types of signs, you know, I could tell you a whole bunch, like they like to use their energy to come inside of a bird, a ladybug, a butterfly, right?
It could be anything in your environment, right?
Right, to let you know that, and they would do something that they normally wouldn't do, such as land on you, peck at you, you know, a car will cut you off, and the license plate is your loved one's name. How's that? You know, I mean, something that you can't miss.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't normally happen.
Yeah, something
that
hits you over the head, so you get it.
Yeah, so that's what you received. Yeah. You received a without a doubt sign from your loved one, which is great. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Now,
thanks for that, Betty.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, what have you done to help improve your receptivity to these other realms for yourself?
The most important thing is to keep my vibration high, because we have to be more on par with their energy in order to be on the same frequency and hear them. So sometimes it's easier said than done. So we go through things in our life, you know, at one point.
A lot of challenges.
A few years ago, say, forgiveness is extremely important.
Yes.
As Wayne Dyer himself said, it's not the snake bite that kills us, it's the venom that's left behind.
So forgiveness. So, well, let's look at that a little bit more. It seems to be a big one. How do you let go of, how do you forgive someone even though you know they're wrong?
You forgive them. You know what you do? You forgive them for you.
Yeah.
You don't do it for the other person, because you don't want to hold on to that anger. It doesn't mean to forget, and it doesn't mean to put up with them in the future and be in a toxic relationship.
So for more forgive and remember.
Remember, but without that feeling, that horrible feeling that's attached to it, because you don't want to hold on to that.
And ultimately love, I guess.
You.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're able to raise your vibration to a higher level that's more on par with the angels and deceased loved ones, that's when you'll be able to hear them more. So that's what I have to do. And when I come in to work every morning, I meditate. I quiet my thoughts so that I could pick up on their thoughts. As I said, they speak to us as thoughts, right? Mm. So if our thoughts are going a mile a minute, we can't hear them.
We can't hear anything else but our own thoughts. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So the meditation calms our own thoughts. Our little thought generator can turn down the volume a little bit.
Exactly, and so we can hear them.
Hear the bigger universe around us.
That's right.
Now, are they always there? Say you suddenly have an issue that comes up in your life and you want to talk to your grandmother. I mean, is it possible to just give her a call?
When I have found in my own life, it's terrible. But when I yell at them, that's when they come. I said, come on. You know, like when I said to God, you know, give me a sign, let me know you're there. I've done it on a number of occasions. Yeah. But I said to my mom, hey, come on. I do this all the time. Where are you? Give me a sign to let me know you're with me. And then, boom, I would get all these crazy signs, you know. I had a wonderful dream. We're talking about dreams. Yeah. I said to her, I'd love to hear her voice one more time. And maybe a day later, maybe 2 days later, I can't remember the timing of that, but I went home from work and I was exhausted, went to take a nap. It sounds like I'm always taking a nap by the two stories that I shared with you, but I don't.
It's okay.
So I went to take a nap.
Good.
And I had a quote-unquote dream, but I knew it was a real visitation. Huh. And in the dream, I walked into a crowded room, and my mother's voice came over the loudspeaker, and she said, typical of my mom. It comes in the fashion as the personality of your deceased loved one. So if they were loud, they're still loud. If they were quiet, et cetera.
You recognize them instantly, huh?
Yes. So she was over the loudspeaker and she said, I have an important announcement. I have an important announcement. I am okay and I love you. And I knew in the dream that it wasn't a dream. I knew it was a real visitation. You just feel it and you know it. And I said, Mom, I love you so much. I said, who are you with? And she said something that I couldn't understand. And I said, can you please tell me that again? I couldn't hear you. And she said, Nanny, who's her mom. With that, the phone rang, woke me up.
And which is good because it helped me to remember the dream. If you don't wake up after a dream,
yes,
you won't remember it.
Yeah, that's where the watches, the new smartwatches can help.
Exactly.
Cool. So you got woken up and that helped you remember that magic moment.
It helped me to remember, and I knew without a doubt it was her coming to me. But I had to say, Mom, you give me a sign. I want to hear your voice one more time. So when you put it out there, set the intention that you want to connect with your loved ones. Then be open and aware of the signs that happen, that occur around you. But don't think everything is a sign, too. So not every bird in the sky, not every song that comes on, but if the song comes on when you're asking your loved one for a sign, and it's their song or the words that you need to hear, pay attention. You know, things like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, how specific can you get with it? If you want to have a certain gathering of loved ones on the other side, can you create a date where maybe it's a dream time for you, you know, where you're in dream space?
You know what's funny? It's just, I tell people, a lot of people ask me that. You can, when they were here on the physical plane and you ask them to come for dinner at 5 o'clock and if they weren't available, they can't come. So it's not always, you can't always call on them and they're there.
No,
as a matter of fact, when people come to see me for an appointment, most of the time their loved ones are there, but there are times when they're not.
Yeah.
And I can't make that happen. No, it's not up to me.
Yeah, it's not like our telephone switchboards here. It's
right, exactly.
Because you're going into a timeless zone where time is, space doesn't exist as we know it. So.
Right.
But how does personality survive in that state? You know?
Isn't that funny? Because once you're one with everything and everyone, you feel that connection.
Why would you want to be you at that point?
Yeah, but what I have gathered from all of this is that this is their loved ones, the living loved ones' way of knowing it's truly them. So when they come through in their personality, can I share a quick story? It's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
My friend Marion was very loud. And when I say you retain the same personality after you pass, it's true. And she was sarcastic. So after she passed, I wrote her a letter, and I would tell our listeners to write your loved ones a letter and say, give me a without a doubt sign to let me know that you are aware of what I just wrote to you. So I did that with Marion. She passed away. Uh-huh. She was a loud personality, funny, loud, sarcastic. I wrote her a letter, and I said, give me a sign to let me know that you're aware of what I wrote to you. I love you so much. You know, I know you're in a good place.
Give me a good sign.
Right. So 2 days later, I'm walking down the steps in front of my house, and I have envelopes ready to put in my mailbox. And as I'm walking down the stairs, a bird is screaming at the top of its lungs, looking at me, directly at me. Screaming. And I knew. I said, Marion? The bird followed me to the mailbox. I am crying, and I said, oh, my God, Marion, is that you? My neighbor's looking at me like I'm totally nuts, but I didn't care. And I said, Marion, I love you so much. And I call my son. I have my cell phone in my pocket. Come outside. Marion's here. And he said, huh? I said, just come outside. And he came outside, and he saw the whole thing. 2 days later, a mutual friend of ours said, you're not going to believe what Marion did to me. And I said, well, I'll tell you what she did to me. And anyway, my friend said she was painting her kitchen. And opened the sliding glass door. A bird flew in the kitchen, pooped all over the walls, and then flew out, and she knew. She said, Marion, thanks a lot. So that's typical Marion
fashion.
You
knew her. Yeah, wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's pretty direct.
Yes.
It's like an animal almost, right? It's an animal-level connection where you love each other on that level.
Exactly.
No, are the animals part of this story, too?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Animals are no less or more than we are, and most people do not realize that.
Huh.
Animals are on the same. They are one with us.
So they're part of us, too. They're part of the we as
They absolutely are part of
so
the
we. So it's maybe, maybe all mammals have a we, too.
Of animal, everything.
And all life has a we, too. And the universe probably has a we, too. Amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Karen, for being on the show this week.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, this is Karen Noe. Best to know her by either listening to this broadcast or going back to her website, which is karennoe.com, I believe?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for being on our show, and I appreciate it, and hope to stay in touch with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Future's calling
me. Wraps up this week in Dr. Future History. This is KSCO in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, thanks for listening.